Good to see all of you this morning. And before I forget it, the first thing I'm going to do, happy Father's Day to all you fathers.
You too, sir.
Thank you. So, special day. We had a special day for the mothers. Now we got a special day for us, right? So, welcome. Let's get take care of some announcements. And then we'll honor our fathers. Men's Fellowship Breakfast next Saturday here at church at 8 a.m. All church men are encouraged to attend. Sign up sheet in the fellowship hall. If you know somebody that, a friend or somebody that neighbor that you can invite to bring them out to join our fellowship and maybe get them interested in our church. Ladies' Luncheon Monday the 30th at Delma's Family Cafe in Lotsburg. Arrive by 11:30 a.m. Sign up sheet in the fellowship hall. See Bootsy with any questions. And Senior Saints Ministry Monday the 30th at 7 p.m. And Deacons and WMA meetings Tuesday the 8th of July at 7 p.m. And in church business meeting Wednesday, July 9th at 7 p.m. Any other announcements? Anything anybody need to? Yes. There's a. Yeah, here it's revive the spirit. Yeah, that's it. That's in your bulletin. So get that. All right.
And I want to acknowledge the great job Michelle Jenkins did with VBS this week.
I had you getting ready to get to that. I'm gonna tell you something. It wasn't as if she didn't prepare for it. She's been up here. I don't know how many days and hours she put in getting all this stuff ready for it, and it was tremendous. And I hated to miss the last 2 days of it. I tell you, I was really, really getting into it, and I was really enjoying the children. And you know, when you get a little flu bug or something, you can't help it, you know. But I truly missed it.
But we missed her, but you're back now, right?
You're right. I'm back. So anyway, it was good Bible school. I really was. So alrighty, now we are going to honor our fathers today. Okay, now I see we have something for them, don't we? Who's taking care of that? Huh?
I guess I'll do that.
You will. I was looking. I see all this, but first, let's see. Would all the fathers stand up? Let's see all the fathers stand up. And I'm standing up. Okay, let's give all the fathers a hand. I needed another drinking cup. Pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We've set this hour aside for you. We've come to praise you. We've come to glorify you. And we've come to give you all the glory and the honor for being the only one true living God, the one who has blessed us so much, the one who has given us salvation in his Son. And we pray that as we come today, that all that we do and say in the words and the songs and in our hearts, that we truly worship you and that you would accept it. For we come in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Okay, our first Father's Day song today is 141, Father God. Stand up as we sing, please. Let's sing it through two times. Father, page 140. Great is the Lord.
I hope everybody's doing well on this glorious day. I was going to say, let the children come, but I think I have one following me. Hey, JoJo, you going to come down here? Come on down, buddy. It's a beautiful day. In the neighborhood, that's right. Hey, man, come on down. Jack's here. Anybody else want to come down today? All right, we're going to keep this short. Oh, I see some people coming down. I see Finley and Waverly are also coming down. Hey, we had a great time this week at church. I think, Michelle, you can tell me better, but maybe 42 different kids came through, something like that. It was wonderful. Hey, man, how are you? Oh, you brought an offering. That's wonderful. We love stuff like that. Hey, what special day is it? What's the name of the day? Father's Day. Father's Day, that's right. It's where we honor and we should always obey our fathers. You know, fathers come in different forms and shapes and sizes. And we come in different means and fashions. Some are dads. Some are stepfathers. Sometimes it's our uncles or our grandfathers that raise us and our fathers to us. Sometimes it's teachers that are role models. Sometimes it's our pastor that's like a father to us. But there's always one father that stands above all. And it's someone, Finley, it's someone we call Father God. Father God, that's right. It sounds wonderful coming from your mouth. So as we go forward, we need to remember that fathers are always there for us. And whether it's our real dad or whether it's our pastor or our deacon or our neighbor, we have people that's going to act as fathers for us. All right? So I want you to remember that. And I want you to know that there is going to be somebody in your life at every junction of your life that's like a father to you. And since I started coming to this church, I am happy to say that I've met several people that are like fathers to me. And I learn from them every day and they teach me. And one special trait of being a dad is bringing you to church. And I think that's a big important thing. So as you get older, you're going to meet special people that are like fathers to you that bring you closer to God. And I want you to remember that. Well, I don't want to talk too long because we just have some little ones today that are ready to go back in the back room. Why don't we say a little prayer, okay? All right, let's close our eyes. Dear Father God, we thank you for this special day and we give blessings for the fathers in our life. Whether they're our real dad or whether they're our next door neighbor or teachers or anybody special like that that brings us closer to you, Father God. We give thanks and we give prayers. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, guys. Hey, Finley, don't forget your money right there. Is that an offering? Hey, how are you today? Good. You are so good. Hey, by the way, before I forget, I did take photos at VBS, and I have a slideshow showing back there. And if anybody wants to download that, send an email to me or Shelley with your name and information, and I'll make sure to get that link to you. As we get ready for prayers, do we have any praises this week? I can tell you I heard that Jody Bowles is doing much better, and she's excited, hopefully, to come home soon. That's a praise right there. She was supposed to come home yesterday. Well, that's a big praise. And I heard May Schools is resting comfortably. That's a big praise. That's all we can ask sometimes. We do have some concerns, and I lift them up to you prayer warriors in the church. We know Trudy Walker is having a hip replacement this week. She's decided after her last birthday that she's not hip enough, so she's going to go and get a new hip. So that's exciting news for her. So prayers for them. They will be in Richmond likely for at least a month or so as she follows up with physical therapy there. And then our daughter Jordan is having surgery this Thursday, and it's going to be a long summer for her and for us. So prayers for her and for Shelley as they go through that together. Anything else we need to lift up?
A friend visiting, Tricia, what? Is having a knee replacement this week.
Oh, okay.
They're friends of mine from the gun club.
I met Butch. So. All right, we lift you up. Lee, you had something? I heard Priscilla's not feeling the best today, so we lift her up. Dwayne, good to see you, and know that you're making it through the tough times as well. Thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, Michael. Okay. So we will prayers for the Arringtons as they go through a tough time. Thank you, guys, and we definitely appreciate the power of prayer is strong, and we know that you guys will keep everybody close.
Thank you. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this special day, a day we've set aside to celebrate Father's Day, to celebrate the earthly fathers that we have. We know that none of us would be here without a father, that it takes a father and it takes a mother. And we thank you for those fathers that we have that have taken us along through life, that have shown us the right way, brought us up in the right way, taught us the right things, and give us all the things that we needed to sustain our lives here on earth. And we know that they are a blessing and a gift from you. And we thank you so much for being our Heavenly Father. And we know that the greatest gift that you've given us has been your Son for our salvation. We thank you for that. And we thank you that for the fathers that we had that are now with you, and that someday we would be able to be reunited with them, but also to be with the fathers that are still living and raising their children, to give them the strength, the courage they need to go in these difficult times and the things that are, our children are exposed to out in the world that we guard against. And we pray, Father, for those we mentioned on our prayer list, those that are getting ready to undergo surgery, that you would be with them, be with those that are providing their care, the doctors and the nurses and the hospitals. And for those that are recovering, we thank you. And as we go through this service now, we're intent upon listening to what you have to say to us. And especially if we do not know Jesus as our Lord and Savior yet, that we contemplate accepting him. And this we all pray in his holy and precious name. Amen.
The offertory hymn this morning, hymn number 404, Faith of Our Fathers. We sing the first and last verses. Stand as we sing. We also need to keep Israel in our prayers, too. They're really going through a tough time.
You know, if you have your father here today, be good to him. Tell him you love him and you appreciate all he's done for you. And you know, someday he's not going to be there for you. As I know, I thought about my father this morning and I think about what I had a good father and couldn't have had a better one. So appreciate him while you got him. The minister's little daughter was sent to bed with a stomach ache and missed her usual playtime with her daddy. A few minutes later, she appeared at the top of the stairs and called her mother. "Mama, let me talk to daddy." "No, my dear, not tonight. Get back in bed." "Please, mama." "I said no. That's final." Mother, I'm a very sick woman and I must see my pastor at once. You know, there are many problems have developed in our society due to the deterioration of the family. There's a lack of love in bringing children to maturity. Jesus is missing. Vast majority of children today are not raised in the church. Question was once asked, isn't it the church's responsibility and is the church failing our youth today? Yes, the church does have some responsibility, but it is the youth's parents who have failed. Several generations have left the church. Children only have what is taught out in the world. Our schools, colleges, and universities are indoctrinating our youth. They're not teaching them. They're teaching and accepting ungodly lifestyles. Atheism is on the rise. Here's some statistics from a recent year. $1 billion worth of damage to our schools by children. 70,000 assaults made on teachers. 100 murders were committed, increase in children killing their parents, and suicide in the second highest cause of death. There's a connection in these statistics and what is not happening in the home. There's a high rate of divorce, single parenting. Children are rebelling against parents and getting away with it. This fellow overheard in the doctor's office in waiting area, there was a boy for an ear infection was caused by swimming. The doctor told the mother she must keep him out of the pool or else his ear would not heal. Doctor, you've got to do something. I need help. He's just too big for me to handle anymore. The person that overheard this expecting to see a 17-year-old, 6'2", 225-pound boy come out of the examining room was surprised when he saw a 5-year-old kindergartner. Who's lost control here? I had an experience years ago when I was with my wife and some of the grandchildren, and we had, I believe it was at King's Dominion, and they went off to do something, get on some ride. And I said, I'm going to take a break, and I'm sitting over there on a park bench, you know. And here come this woman with 5 wild kids. I mean, they were, you know, just steps right up. You know, they were going every which way and every one. She called, holler, time out, time out, time out. You know, trying to get them set up. And I thought, it's a little more than time out. It's a time to get down a little bit low. And the sister-in-law used to say when handling children, she says, you need to get down to their eye level. I said, no, you need to get a little bit lower. You need to get to the seat level. There's a great falling away from God and Christian principles. The home is where children should learn about the Lord. The relationship responsibilities of Christians and their children are based upon being in the Lord. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And then we're going to look at children and at Christians and their children. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We need to listen to what the scriptures exhort here. Those who are in the Lord, it's talking about the parents that are saved. That means they're related and responsible to the Savior. So children have responsibility. And those responsibilities are to include their actions. One, to obey the parents. That means to hear and submit to their authority. Children today, a lot of times, they don't respect authority because they're not taught authority. I was taught to respect my elders, and I knew to respect my parents, and I was taught to respect my teachers. I was taught to respect the police and whatever, any of those of authority. And we were always told, and my brother and I, of course, my brother didn't listen as well as I did because he got into trouble more than I did at school. But it was told, you get in trouble at school, you expect more when you get home. In the Lord, that defines the sphere of obedience. That what the parents are doing is right. It's in the Lord. It's sort of like the military. In the military, of course, I watched part of the parade yesterday, and Trump swearing in some new soldiers. And one of the things is that you obey your those in charge of you. You obey your officers when they lawful orders. So when parents give you lawful orders and stuff, that's what you're to obey. If they're trying to teach you to do something that's bad, no, you don't. But it's in the Lord. This is right, that children obey their parents. This is what God requires in His law. George Lockerbie, a Baptist preacher, wrote, "While in college many years ago, I was exposed to some child psychology that taught that children should not be restrained. I lived long enough to see many of these children who were not restrained ruined. Christian children must be shown that God's word teaches that they are responsible for their actions, and this includes being obedient to their parents in the Lord. These responsibilities include their attitudes. It's required to honor their parents, treat them with respect and reverence that is due them. There is a reward for honoring your parents. One of the commandments, Exodus 20, verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." You do follow the commandments, you honor your parents, you're going to live longer. Compare children who have with those who have not honored their parents. I can tell you, I have in my own family, I had a cousin. Excuse the expression, but I'd called him hell on wheels. He was always into trouble. He didn't even make it through boot camp. He got put out of the Navy in his first few weeks in boot camp. That's how bad he was. And he was always tearing vehicles up and doing all kinds of bad things. But when he was growing up, his parents couldn't control him. And what the bad thing about it was, he lived right next door to his grandparents. And if he got into something, he'd run, and his grandmother would protect him. And he turned out to be a rotten person. I've seen others with that same thing. I've seen a niece and a nephew that the mother believed that you get to never did believe in spanking, correcting, and all of that other stuff. They're not so good today. Christian parents have responsibilities. The Bible reveals who is responsible, especially the head of the household, that is, fathers. The father is to be the head of the household. I know in my own family when I was raised up, my father was the head of the household. And it was my father and my mother that took us to church. They didn't send us to church. They took us to church. They were an example for us to follow. The Bible reveals who is required. What is required? Provoke not, it says. Children need encouraging. They don't need being put down all the time. Provoke means constant nagging to the point of exasperation. I've seen the results of that in my daughter, her first marriage. She was only married 2 years. And when I asked her about the situation, and he'd fly off the handle and throw things and everything else, and I asked her, I said, "Didn't you know about all of this?" She said, "Yes, Daddy, but I thought it could change him." But he was raised up in a broken home. His mother, he'd remarried. He had a stepfather. But he spent a lot of time with his real father, like summers and stuff. and his real father was always putting him down, told him he'd never amount to anything. He did get a college degree, and when my wife married him, he had a college degree, but you know what he was doing with his degree? He was driving a delivery truck with tires from a tire distributor to shops and garages with a college degree. But my daughter encouraged him. He wanted to be a fireman. He wanted to be a firefighter. One of his grandfathers had been a fire chief. And so my daughter encouraged him, got him. He got accepted into firefighting school and into being a firefighter. And the last I heard, he was a lieutenant in one of the fire stations there in Hampton. But she got him. But it was all because the way his real father had treated him. Sometimes a pat on the back is needed. They need to be encouraged and not always put down. Children need educating. Bring them up, both physically and educationally. Both mind and morals are to be trained. Admonition, train by word to come from and be about the Lord. I can think back for the time growing up, learning all the different Bible stories from my parents. Not just only in church, but also from my parents. And learning about the Bible and the way I should live. What the world teaches today. No prayer. No prayer in public. They've done away with it in schools. No mention of God. Jesus is eliminated from discussion in public. I don't know if you'll ever notice sometimes in these sporting events. And then when the team that wins and all of a sudden they start giving credit to their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they move away from them. They don't want to hear any more of that. The homosexual lifestyle is taught in schools now. They're trying to teach it even to kindergartners. Use whatever bathroom you like or whatever, whoever you think you prefer you are that day. You know what this month is? Month of June? It's Gay Pride Month. The worst thing that has happened to this country and to the family is same-sex marriage. Now, I saw something the other day that is encouraging, and I hope that it comes to reality. There's some of the Supreme Court justices want to revisit that decision. That was a 4-5. It wasn't unanimous. And those Christian Supreme Court justices, they want to revisit it. That was a tragedy. Now, let me tell you something. 2 Father's Days ago, I was called early in the morning. A friend of mine who was interim pastor at a church over here in Northern Neck. He was interim pastor. He had retired. And his wife called me and wanted to know if I could go fill in him for that Sunday that he had gotten a hold of some bad shrimp, that he had gotten sick, you know. So I said, well, what time is it? And I looked at my watch. I said, oh, yeah, because I hadn't even gotten up. I said, yeah, I can do that. I can make it. And so I got up and started getting dressed, and I thought, well, what am I going to preach today? And then it hit me, hey, dummy, it's Father's Day. So I looked up. I have the list there of Father's Day sermons there real quick. And so I ran to my files, and I pulled up. I found this scripture here. And, in fact, when I got to the church, it was the same scripture that pastor had selected. But when I got to the part, now get in a Baptist church of all places, and I said this same-sex marriage thing was the worst thing that happened to our society and our family and so forth. This couple got up, walked out, and slammed the door. And I thought, no, is there something I said or was something I didn't, you know, I did. When I got through with the message and got to the door, people come in and tell me that what a good message it was, greatest sermon they heard, and I'm going, whoa, wait a minute here. So then I got out in the parking lot, guy come over and explained to me that couple had 2 daughters that were both that way, and one of them had married another woman. and that they were trying to push it off on the church, but the church wasn't buying it. And then also, I was told by the pastor the next day, I called him and told him what happened, and he said sooner or later it had to come around. And I found out that couple was on the pastor search committee of all things. But I found out they got another interim now. They're still looking. But I talked to him that they finally had left the church, which they should have if that's the way they should have done. But that's about the worst thing that can happen to us. And the introduction of Islam, but no Christianity. You know, they can bring up Islam and so forth, but no Christianity. We need to look at the Savior's example. Both educational and encouraging to children to see that as a child, Jesus recognized and reverenced his responsibility to his Father, God. It's a challenge to Christian children. First, Jesus grew in stature. Luke 20, verse 4. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. He grew and waxed strong. He grew like any normal child would do. He grew in the wisdom of God. He was taught God's word and God's will. This was done by his human family. This was by his earthly father, Joseph, and his mother, Mary, and his earthly father, the grace of God. He grew in the word. Look at Luke 2, 41 through 47. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And he was 12 years old, and they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had filled the days and they returned, the child Jesus, supposing to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard them were astonished at his understandings and his answers. And then Jesus grew in submission. Luke 2:48, 51. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said to them, How is it that you sought me? Wist it you not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. He was sympathetic towards their amazement. They were anxious over his absence. His reply was simply sympathetic. He was submissive towards his parents. He humbly submitted himself to the authority of his human parents. How can Christian children do less? Now, here's a challenge to Christian parents. Jesus always had time available for children. In Matthew 19:13, then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. This is one of the times that Jesus showed his anger. Don't you ever keep those children from me. They were precious to him. The disciples thought he was just too busy with other matters, but he was not too busy for children. He rebuked them. He was more interested in blessing the children. Christians, we need to follow that example. And that's an example of what we did Bible school this week. Until I got sick, I enjoyed it. And I could, all the children, and I'd always try to speak to each and every one of them as I could and make them feel welcome and then I'd sit back here and watch them practice their songs and stuff. And I mean, they were really getting into it. And that's what we need to do. And I hated to miss Thursday night. I understand that was something else. So anyway, but That's what God wants us to do. Jesus always had an affectionate touch for children in Matthew 19, 14, and 15. But Jesus said, "Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. There needs to be more time extending our hearts and thoughts and our hands to little children. That's something as a pastor I've always been very careful about, and I've always explained it, because especially sometimes I'll see people will get upset. Well, they're running in the hall, or they're doing this, or sometimes they get over there and, oh, they're going to damage the piano. Let me tell you something. Child banging on the keys can't do as much damage as I've seen some people that really can play a piano. They didn't damage the piano. But I always tell them, be cautious. Do not do anything to turn the children away. We don't want to turn the children away from the church. We want them to feel this is where they're welcome and where they're loved. Caution to Christian parents. Look at what Jesus said about helping children, Matthew 18, 1 through 5. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one son, little child in my name receiveth me." He was using humility of the little children to illustrate true conversion. We come to Jesus as a child. Helping little children illustrates true Christlikeness. Now listen to what he said about hurting children. Matthew 18, 6. "But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for them that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." I'd get upset when I hear of children being abused, being mistreated. And one of the ways our society today is mistreating, and they're responsible. Children are given to you by God, and you have a responsibility to God to raise them up in His ways. And when you don't, that's child abuse in a way there, because they don't learn about God, they don't learn about Jesus and the opportunity to receive Him as Lord and Savior. But look at all the child abuses and the physical abuse that's going on today. Look at all the terrible things. And there's right now, I don't know if they caught him or not. There was a father that took his three children, I think it was three daughters, killed them. Of course, he's in Army special stuff and all, so he can survive out there in the woods forever, I guess. But I don't know if they've ever caught him yet. But can you imagine just killing your own three children? God's going to deal with him. God will deal with him. And I just think about all the other things that have happened. Parents are the foundation of the family. We need a father and a mother. No village. We don't need no village. It's a father and a mother. Children are the framing built upon that foundation. They're the framework. It's important that the proper relationship exists between the parents and the children. Who or what dictates the standards for the family and its relationship for Christians is God, not the standards of this world. The foundation, of course, is all built on Jesus Christ. He's the foundation for the home. He's the foundation for the church. When I counsel a couples who come to me to get married, and one of the first things that I talk to them about is their relationship to God. And that the Lord Jesus Christ is the center of that home. That it's the center of their lives and will be the center of their family. And I always give them a little advice that I got from a book, a pastor's book that W.A. Criswell wrote, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas for over 50 years, wrote a minister's manual. And what he did would recommend it, and I did the same thing to couples when they get getting ready to get married, is have a job in the church. Even if it's just cleaning the floors or cleaning the windows, but have some job in the church, something to keep you in the church. And that's where it all is. And that's the problem today is so many children out there don't know who Jesus is. They don't know what he's done for them. And they really don't know all that much about God. And that's the shame of it. And let me tell you another shame of it is it goes back to my generation. I was raised in the church. Most all the kids I went to school with, neighborhood and everything, we all went to one church. Some of them went to Catholic, some of us Baptist, some of us Presbyterian, some of us Methodist and so forth. But we all went to church. But then when we got older, most of them didn't take their children to church. They fell away from it. I don't know why. I know there was a time in there I kind of got away from it, but I got back into it. But that's where it started with the baby boomers. But the important thing is today, do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Do you know that he died for you, forgave you of your sins, and gives you eternal life? If not, you can receive him today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the lessons we see here for parents and for children, and especially for our fathers we celebrate today, that fathers be the leader of the home, the fathers be the leader of instruction and leading in church and in life at home. And we pray, Lord, that today if there's anyone here that is not sure about their salvation or has not accepted Jesus Christ, would do it today to know that he has died for them, to forgive them their sins, and arose to give them eternal life. This we all pray in his holy and precious name. Amen. Only trust him.